All right, welcome into another Daily Wager Extra podcast. I'm Doug Kazarian. We are taping this on January 27th. It is a Thursday. Wild finishes for both the Niners over the Packers and also the Chiefs over the Bills. You can imagine the swings in the live betting markets and all sorts of fun stuff. We'll discuss that with John Murray coming up in a moment. And we'll also look ahead to this weekend, the conference championship games. One score is the point spreads in this one. But what a weekend it was. First time since 1970s, all four divisional round games had a point spread of six or less, and they all featured games that came down to the final play and just three field goals and a touchdown. So just historically awesome weekend of football, and we will discuss it all straight ahead.
Kicking is for losers.
All right, time now to bring in Mr. Executive Director, who is a total suit, traveling during the week. Very busy man.
Yeah, I'd say, but this is not a work trip, Doug. You know, this is like the rare trip of recreation. I'm in Columbus, Ohio with my little brother, Peter. We're here for Team USA El Salvador World Cup qualifier tonight at the Columbus Crew Stadium. And you know what sucked? We went out to dinner last night, a very nice dinner. And because we're here on a fun trip, not a work trip, we had to pay for it ourselves. You know, that sucks. You know what I mean? Like you get used to going on these work trips, having the company plastic. This time we had to pay for everything the old fashioned way, and man, it sucked. We just looked at each other like, are you going to do this or what? So we ended up going Dutch.
No credit card roulette.
No, we talked about it, but it was pretty pricey. It wasn't cheap. Columbus apparently is doing very well because it wasn't cheap.
That might be my favorite thing to do in the world. Credit card roulette. There is just nothing like it. I'm a firm believer. I'm a firm believer because I've seen it done both ways. Very, very appalling. It's not the first one out loses. It's the last one.
The last one
out loses. So you get more drama, more suspense.
That makes
sense.
Get some bang
for your buck. Yeah,
you gotta have a build up to it. Yeah, I agree with that. Plus the sweaty palms last a little longer. Now it was just two of us. We are brothers. So we didn't, he paid for the hotel room. I paid for the tickets to the game tonight. So, okay. the dinner being split, we felt was fair.
I've been at a bachelor party, done the credit card roulette. The one caveat we said going in, loser gets drinks paid for him the rest of the night by everyone else. So it was fun.
That's fair. That's
yeah.
Good.
So he can drink his sorrows away for free.
That sounds good.
But and it's good to get the waitress to do it or someone like in the restaurant because it becomes a big spectacle and it's a lot of fun that way. All right, we move on. So let's recap last weekend first because I don't know what they're calling it in Buffalo, as if that franchise and fan base needed more misery. But spectacular finish and a little vindication for your guy right here. I said you have to have a death wish to bet the side in this game. I think it's an over bet. But I said, I don't think there's an edge in this game at all, and it certainly played out that way.
I was texting with one of my buddies who's a big Bills fan after the game, and he was saying, like, he thinks that this loss was worse than the Music City Miracle. And I said, well, dude,
absolutely.
It was way worse than the Music City Miracle. The Music City Miracle was a wild card game. If the Bills win that game, they are a seven and a half point favorite in the AFC Championship game against the Bengals this week. I think they're the favorite to win the Super Bowl if they hang on to beat Kansas City. It's absolutely worse. I thought it was I know everyone is a prisoner of the moment and they get caught up in everything and there's a lot of exaggerations after these games, but I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that was the greatest quarterback duel in playoff history. I mean, it was we were all sitting back there last Sunday at the Superbook laughing at some of the plays that Josh Allen was making. He bowled over a linebacker on third down and knocked him out of the game. His second to last touchdown pass to Gabriel Davis, he threw the ball so hard, Davis was knocked to the ground as he made the catch. And Pat Mahomes was equally incredible. I've never seen a quarterback performance, two guys going at it like that in my life. It was a remarkable game.
Yeah, and they are like the stars too. Like it lived up to the ball was put in their hands by their coaches, and it played out exactly as it should have.
Yeah, it was, it left you a little speechless too, because to see those two guys and think about how great they are and how young they are, you know, we're going to get this again in the future. These two teams aren't going anywhere as long as those two quarterbacks are on their rosters. And there's a few other quarterbacks in the AFC, and we're going to talk about one of them because he's playing on Sunday as well. But those two guys in my mind right now are just head and shoulders above the rest of the league. And they're going to be around for a while.
Well, it's the dual threat component, first of all. But, yeah, I mean, Mahomes, especially that first quarter, he was really making plays that were just stupid. Like, they should have been, like, three sacks in the end of the drive. So yeah,
he kept escaping the pass rush and finding a receiver. Right. And Allen, I love when they call those quarterback sweeps for Allen. And I think I tweeted something about that they either punted or kicked a field goal on fourth and one. And it's like, no. You have Josh Allen. You guys, you don't, when you have Josh Allen, you don't kick a field goal or punt on fourth and short and give the ball back to Pat Mahomes. And if you have Pat Mahomes, you don't kick a field goal or punt on fourth and short and give the ball back to Josh Allen. These guys are too great. They're both too great. You can't do that. You've got to be going for touchdowns.
Yeah, the QB sweep was nice. And then I think on third or fourth down, they did a QB draw as well. Allen, that threw him off because they went four or five wide. And it was great. It was great. Just the play calling was excellent. I did not like one of the punts. I think everybody groaned as well. It's fourth and four, I believe, and ended up being a touchback, I want to say. But,
yeah,
you know, those are tough calls. Fourth and four, I think it was like his own 48. I understand the punt because it was first half, but still. But 13 seconds will live forever. Did you have a live line at that point at all?
You know, one of your colleagues, David Purdom, asked me that question. To be honest with you, it was so manic back there after the last Bills touchdown. We were setting up Bills -7.5 versus Bengals, and we were about to turn the betting on. And I had to ask one of the guys who was doing the in game, and he told me, no, we did not put up a line. And in the moment where it happened, I didn't even notice that, you know, Buffalo shouldn't have kicked the ball off through the back of the end zone. They should have kicked it up in the air to take some time off the clock.
Yeah, I believe Romo was saying that.
I didn't even notice that. It was just chaotic back there after that touchdown. We're trying to get Bills Bengals set up where all these conversations are going on. And we thought the game was over is the best way to put it. We kind of stopped paying attention to the game.
So it's funny. I had a pretty big live wager, like at the end of regulation on the Chiefs. And so when the Bills score, whatever, I mean, I hedged a little bit, but I basically said, my buddy and I were texting. He's like, this ain't over yet. Like, don't this ain't done, you know? And it's funny, it was doable at the time, and I didn't realize how. I just thought like maybe a long over the middle kind of thing. I didn't think like the seam, you know, obviously there's been so much written and covered about, you know, Kelsey calling his own audible and going down the seam and along the hashes. I will say this, and I didn't think of this at the time, but I'm also not a head coach or any coach in the NFL. They should know this. With 13 seconds and, you know, the touchback or whatever, the time is there, but you don't even have to rush anyone. You're not going to get to them. He's got to get rid of it, right?
Right.
So you can put 13 in coverage or 11 in coverage for the 13 seconds because you're not getting to the quarterback. The ball's going to be out. So why even have four right there? You should have four along like the 10 yards down the field. You don't need to rush anyone. You have zero rush.
Yeah. The whole thing makes no sense. And all you have to do is bleed a little bit of clock down there and –
But they were so unprepared with whether it be the kickoff or the defensive form.
But it's kind of like us at the Superbook, we're in the back room scrambling to get the AFC Championship game on. We're not paying any attention to the game. But it seems like the Buffalo Bills coaching staff wasn't paying attention either. They're all ready to go celebrate and get ready to go play in the AFC title game. And they didn't think of the right thing to do on the kickoff. And they didn't do what you're saying, which is just put everybody back, let them complete a pass in the middle of the field and just tackle the guy. The only thing you have to worry about there is running clock. That's it. Nothing else matters at that point. I feel bad for Bills fans. I was, you know, full disclosure, I was rooting for the Bills because I just thought it would have been more fun. No offense to the Chiefs because they have an awesome fan base and I love Pat Mahomes. I don't have a problem with them at all. But I thought it would have been a lot of fun having the Bills Mafia, taking over Las Vegas Super Bowl week, taking over LA Super Bowl week. I thought that would have been a lot of fun and a lot of excitement. And plus, we would have had a lot of fun making Super Bowl props with Josh Allen because he's such a versatile player. He's so great. There's so many different things we could do with him because he can run the football. Obviously, pretty good thrower of the football as well. So it would have been exciting to have the Bills in the Super Bowl.
Well, it would have been fresh blood too. It would look like Chiefs are going to go again. But so what's the line in action this weekend?
AFC Championship game. Really not a whole lot of conversation here. We opened at Kansas City -7 and we're still there. The total has gone up quite a bit. We went up as high as 55 briefly, had a sharp player come in, go under 55, knocked us down to 54. But the side has actually stayed the same since we put it up last Sunday night. And the public is on Cincinnati, or I'm sorry, excuse me. The public is on Kansas City. There have been some sharper plays on Bengals +7, but nothing that would make us move the price here, nothing that would make us move the number. So we're still at Chiefs 7. It looks like we're going to need the Bengals, but not as much as we needed them on Saturday when the public was all over Tennessee in that AFC divisional playoff. This week, the action seems to be a little bit more divided.
Yeah, 7 field, and to get off that number is going to take a lot, right? I think it's the third most common margin of victory. I think it goes 3-10-7, I think, is the order since the extra point was moved back. But 7 feels right. I bet you the Bengals cover because I think the Chiefs, everyone's trying to overreact to what they saw last.
Well, the Bengals need to block. You know, they're going to need to block the Kansas City pass rush. Joe Burrow, I believe he got sacked 9 times in that game against the Titans. So a terrific performance by him, but they're not. I don't think they're going to get away with that against Kansas City. Ryan Tannehill basically gave the game to the Bengals. He kept making mistakes, terrible interception there at the end of the fourth quarter. I don't think Pat Mahomes is going to do that. You know, famous last words, but I don't think that Burrow is going to be able to trade touchdowns with Pat Mahomes the way he was able to score with Tannehill if his pass rush doesn't help him out. I'm not pinning that on Burrow, although there were a couple sacks there where it looked to me like Burrow should have got rid of the football. But
especially a couple that took him out of field goal range too.
Yes, that's the best one. I think they ended up with like a 4th and 26 because he got sacked on 2nd and 3rd down, and they had to punt the ball away. So he's not going to be able to get away with that against the Chiefs. The Chiefs' offense is too high-powered. The Bengals' defensive front is a little bit banged up. Expect Kansas City to put a lot of points on the board. It's a lot to ask of Burrow to keep up with the Chiefs, but Burrow has a terrific assortment of weapons at his disposal, Jamar Chase, of course, being the stud there. But the Bengals have a lot of really good playmakers on offense, so they should be able to move the football.
Yeah, the total does feel a little high. I mean, the Bengals defense isn't really great. Who can stop Mahomes anyway, right?
What I saw on Sunday, I don't know how anyone has ever stopped him. I mean, he would always find a way to slip out of the pass rush and find an open receiver. If he's making plays like that, Kansas City is going to their third straight Super Bowl.
Yeah, man, they're going to get to Burrow.
I think so too. I think so too, but really can't report anything sharp on the side. And I really can't give a lean myself because the Kansas City 7 is exactly what I made this game. It's exactly what I thought we should open the line when it first came out. And I don't see any reason to budge off of it. I just don't see any edge at all on the side in this game.
Well, let's go to the NFC and a stunner in that game. Just bizarre because usually I'd like to blame Mike McCarthy for Rodgers not going to Super Bowls, but can't blame this one on him. The offense didn't do a whole lot, but it was special teams that ultimately did him in.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, egg on my face. I said all year that the Packers were going to win the Super Bowl. All the second half of the year, I was saying that. I said that Rodgers was going to win his second Lombardi, and he just couldn't get it done. You know, he just could not convert third downs against that defense. I'm still kind of in shock over that game, to tell you the truth. I mean, if you told me on Saturday morning that Green Bay was going to give up no offensive touchdowns and that they were going to lose the football game, I would have said the only way that's possible is Aaron Rodgers must have got hurt in the first quarter and left the game. I don't know how – it doesn't just shock me that the 49ers won. The way they won is the thing that is just so surprising, and I just can't wrap my head around it. I mean, they get the stop on 4th and 1, the play where Trent Williams came in as a fullback. They stuffed that play. I thought the game was over right there. Green Bay goes 3 and out again. And then they have the blocked punt. The whole Packers team is standing around like the play is over, and the Niners run in for a touchdown. And then I thought to myself, all right, well, Rodgers will get him a field goal here. He's Aaron Rodgers. And they go three and out again, and they lose the game in regulation. Stunning, really a stunning, stunning result there.
You know, it's funny. I write a column every week for .com about the futures market and everything during the Rico season. And look, I've talked about a lot of long shots, and there's been a lot of bad tickets. And for the one time I did say Niners at 30-1 to win the NFC was a good value because they were getting healthy. This was about week 12 or so. They have all the makings to do to win certain games, right? Go on the road and the run game and the physicality, and then with Kittle back. I mean, without Kittle, they're such a different offense.
There's no doubt about that. Kittle made an incredible catch on the sideline. I want to say in the first quarter.
Oh, second down, yeah.
Unbelievable catch. And that they actually ended up throwing an interception at the end of that drive. But that really was the first spark their offense had in that game. The problem that San Francisco might run into this weekend is Jimmy Garoppolo. Garoppolo threw at least one ball that should have been returned for a touchdown the other way, possibly two balls that should have been returned for a touchdown. If Green Bay snags either of those balls and runs back for a touchdown, we're talking about a Rams-Packers NFC Championship game. So kudos to the Niners, but they had a very thin margin there. They got away with everything. They won the game, and they probably ended Aaron Rodgers' career as a Green Bay Packer.
Yeah, he's done. One foot out the door for sure. It's just it's too bad. It would have been nice. But the Niners, I mean, look, I think for prop betting and Super Bowl handle, the book probably doesn't want the Niners, but
yeah, the Niners have a pretty big fan base. I would say the Niners definitely have a bigger national fan base than the Rams do. So I think the important thing for us is getting Kansas City in the game. I don't know that it's going to make too much of a difference if it's LA or San Francisco.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Let's talk about the Rams because they got it done. Wild finished themselves in a crazy live betting game as well. I bet the Bucs before the Fournette touchdown plus 270, scalped back. My buddy was texting me. He's sharp. He's a guy I've done a bunch of betting with, and he's just like, they're going to go deep here because on second down when they went deep to Cup, the Bucs were out of timeout, so they could just run it on third down, kill the clock. So you want to take a shot on second down, and he knew it right away. And they did, and Cup, you know, who knows? No one knew that they'd get a safety on him or whatever, but the Rams blew the lead. Akers off the hook with the fumble because they get the game-winning field goal.
I don't know that I've ever – like, we have a feed that we watch in our back risk room. It's a few seconds ahead of the public, the feed on the screens that we show the public in the book. And I don't know that I've ever remember a crazier game where we would see a play at the end of that Rams-Bucks game and be like, oh, my God, wait till the public sees this game. Wait till the crowd sees this play. And after, I think it was Cam Akers fumbled, we were just sitting back in the book in disbelief, waiting for the reaction from the crowd. The whole end of that game was just insane. And I don't know what the Rams were doing. It was like they were doing everything they could to get Tom Brady back into the NFC Championship game. And we needed them to. I mean, look, the public was all over the Rams. We didn't really have a big decision on the last game, on the Chiefs-Bills game. The action on the side in that game was very split. We wanted the under, but we didn't have a big decision. Our big decision on Sunday was the early game. We needed the Bucs big. Everybody was betting the Rams after their great win on Monday night over Arizona. And we took a pretty big loss on that game. Crazy game. And I don't know what the Rams were doing at the end of it, but they also fumbled, I think, right before halftime going in for a touchdown too. I mean, the Rams really should have won that game by a lot more than they did. So, you know, keep that in mind as we look ahead to this weekend.
Yeah, man, that fumbled the Rams. Yeah,
don't forget about that one. Oh, I know. If the Rams had blown that, it would have been one of the most spectacular losses in the history of the league because they really should have won that game by like three or four touchdowns. Even the touchdown that put the Bucs down, put the Bucs down by seven. That was like a 40-second drive where if you're the Rams, all you need to do it doesn't even matter if they score a touchdown there as long as you force them to use some clock. And they threw it a long touchdown pass on like the second play of the drive.
Yeah, to Evans. What? So the Niners have won six straight meetings with the Rams. So Shanahan certainly has McVay's number. Obviously, the pieces have changed, especially for L.A. Stafford now the guy, but San Francisco has their number. I mean, there's something said about that because it is McVay and Shanahan.
There's no doubt about that. And these guys were they were assistants together in Washington. McVay, I believe, was the tight ends coach. Shanahan was the offensive coordinator. They've known each other probably their whole careers. And it for whatever reason, it does look like Kyle Shanahan has Sean McVay's number. I like Kyle Shanahan a little bit better. I think Shanahan is the guy that I'd rather have as my coach. But I don't know. Big quarterback edge here to McVay and the Rams with Stafford. Not that I totally trust Stafford, but I trust him a lot more than Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I've been bashing Garoppolo a little bit too, but he's answered the call. I mean, look, there is the turnover, right? He had the pick, the inexplicable pick against the Cowboys. That made no sense. But it's the Niners team. Like I said, the physicality, the defense, the Rams have the weapons and the big playability for sure. But the Niners have had their number. I'm just a little surprised by that.
I can't disagree. And the Niners have all these like just top stars. Trent Williams is probably the best offensive line or best offensive tackle in the NFL. Debo Samuel is a very special player. Kittle might be the best tight end in the game. Bosa is one of the best pass rushers in the game. So there's some really, it's not at the quarterback position for San Francisco, but there's some really elite talent on the team. Guys that could potentially make huge plays in this game. It's hard to bet against the 49ers right now because they really are on a roll. And we have seen some sharp players take +3.5, -110 at the Superbook. That's why we're at +3.5, -120. When we first opened the game on Sunday, we had a sharp guy lay us the money line. He laid Rams -165. And you've seen the money line go up quite a bit off of his bet. And the market moved up. But there has been some buyback on San Francisco getting the points.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah, I think I could see both dogs getting sharp money, but I don't see an edge at all. I don't see an edge at all. But what do I know? I've been ice cold all season. So
well, you can't. Yeah, no one can listen to me either. I mean, I picked Green Bay the whole way, and I picked them specifically because of what I said was the greatness of Aaron Rodgers, and I still believe him to be a great, great player, maybe the best quarterback we've ever seen, but. They lost their first playoff game at home. He threw one touchdown pass in the first quarter and did nothing the rest of the game. So there's no reason to listen to me either. I'll tell you that much.
So on that note, what a tease.
Yeah, on that note, here are our picks this week, guys.
Let's get to the bonanza. Yeah.
Sure.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, Murray, I'm still way, way behind. I don't even know how we did last week. I believe Darren, the intern, said I went 1-1.
Well, that's why we have an intern. You know, you gotta look at it like you and I are white gloves. You know, we don't do any of the work. We're the talent. We don't have to do anything like that. We get somebody else to do all the math and cross the T's and dot the I's for us. I don't think you need to know. You have somebody that does that for you. I wouldn't worry about it. I've been leaning on my guy, the Prince of Props.
Yeah.
And I'm going to let him kind of drive the bus home for us here the rest of the season. Cause like I said, I mean, for me to lose that the Packers makes me look so dumb. For them to go out in the divisional playoff makes me look so dumb that I don't know why people would come back. Why would you go back to the well and ask me for another pick after that?
Well, the Prince of Props was very active on Twitter, and Darren was retweeting them a bunch. So, so what do we got? 2-1 for the Prince of Props?
I think he did. I think he went 2-1 because he texted me right after the Bucks game. He said that I guess Cam Akers, whatever his number was, he went under it by 1 yard.
Yeah, 48.5.
We had under. And the funny thing was, by the time he texted me, he had also gone under Mahomes. Mahomes actually went over his rush yards on the first drive of the game. So with one drive into the second game, we'd already gone 1-1 for the day. But I believe he had Garoppolo under on Saturday night, and that was a sharp play. because Garoppolo really wasn't able to move the football at all against Green Bay.
Right. Yeah, no offense. After that first drive and then the second drive for the Packers goes to midfield, Mercedes Lewis fumbles, and then not a whole lot of offense at all. So I don't know what my unit is. Did I pass last week? I don't even know. This is terrible. Shame on me. But I've already waved the white flag. Murray, you are on the tee box here.
I think I don't have my screen totally in front of me right now, but I think I saw that the South Point, Chrissy Andrews and those guys had 49ers plus 3.5 minus 110. Can you confirm the accuracy of that? If that,
well, they always have minus 110.
Yeah, I know they don't
do any juice, right?
I know
so,
they
yeah,
do.
Three and a half.
So I'll go 49ers plus 3.5 minus 110. I'm only going to do 1,000 on it. I don't love it, but like I said, the AFC game, that's exactly what I made that number. So it's hard for me to recommend a play in the AFC title game. I like the Rams number a little lower. I thought the Rams number should be more like some version of 3, like minus 320. But we're really splitting hairs here. You know, we're at the end of the season, and I got to tell the people out there at the end of the year, and in the Super Bowl as well, these point spreads on the side, these are right where they're supposed to be. So really, tread lightly. You'd probably be much better off finding an advantage in the college basketball markets or the NBA or some other sport that's not getting as much attention right now. Watch the conference championship games on Sunday and enjoy them. But if you're looking for an edge, it's going to be more like on college hoops or in the prop markets on these games versus betting on the side or total of marquee matchups like this.
Oh, for sure. We all know that. You know, it's the NFL. We know this all too well.
Sure. It's tough. It's really tough this time of year, but it's a lot of fun. You know, I did an interview this week where I said that these two games on Sunday, these are two of the four heaviest bet games of our whole year, along with the National Championship of College Football and the Super Bowl. The AFC and NFC title game are two of the four biggest games we have all year, and we get two of them on the same day. So it's a lot of fun. And we also have the we also get to grade our conference championship future books, which are looking look pretty solid this year. We win on all four of these teams. So
I thought you guys were liable on the Rams, no?
Reliable on the Rams in the Super Bowl. And we will have to, and we're actually liable on the 49ers in the Super Bowl as well. So we will have to deal with that in 2 weeks. Well, either way, we'll lose on the NFC team. But for the conference championship books, we're in good shape on all four of these teams. That was another reason to rooting for Buffalo, by the way, because Buffalo was our best futures book position of the remaining teams after Green Bay went out. For us to win in the NFC, we really needed Green Bay to win. For us to win in the Super Bowl pool from one of the NFC teams, what I'm trying to say. We needed Green Bay to be in the Super Bowl. And I thought they were going to be, and they kind of let me down.
So I'm going to do a teaser, because why not? Okay. It's not the best number to tease up, but I think we're getting value on the Niners already at 3.5 that you just alluded to. I think it should be 3. I think it might even come down to 3. So I'll just tease it up to 9.5, have some fun, because Chiefs down to 1. For a dime, just because we're, I picked up my ball on this hole.
What are you buying for? Here's a question. Who are you going to buy for? Cause are you going to buy for my niece? I'm here in Ohio with my little brother, Peter. His wife, Chelsea, is home in Virginia. She is pregnant with a niece that's coming in April.
Wow.
Are we getting something for little Petey and Chelsea's baby girl?
Well, I thought it was with your niece that's already born.
Well, yeah. So we don't want Caroline to be yesterday's news just because she's a year old.
Right.
That's true.
Right.
She, you know,
well,
she's
frankly,
got Caroline
so blown out that I should be gifts for everyone, including Ellie.
Caroline's got so many toys, though, man. Like I bought her this thing for Christmas, and then I was all excited to give it to her because I went home for Christmas, and then like my sister Jessica sent me a picture of her in her little play area. And I was like, oh my God, like she already has that exact thing. And it's tough to get something for Caroline. It's tough to get something for Ellie too. You know, she's got every toy under the sun. You know, she probably has a million chew toys and all she wants to do is chew on like my staircase or my new couch or something like that. She's a tough one. She's my little monster. She's back.
Yeah,
in Las Vegas.
She is a little monster. Arthur's trying to chew through one of his beds.
Oh yeah, did he? Yeah, well, she got loose on the what's today, Thursday? So yesterday morning before I went to the airport, she got loose on the golf course, man. And she was running through the sand traps. She was chasing these birds. She had the time of her life. But it took me forever to get her to come back inside. I'll tell you that much.
Good stuff. All right, my man. I wanted to mention, so the Chiefs have been really poor starting games. Mm-hmm. And Erin Dolan did his wonderful job on Daily Wager and also the other Daily Wager podcast. And she was on Bill's first quarter last week. Now it pushed, but that could be a good thing. I don't want to say flat spot for KC, but they've been slow starting. I can see the Bengals first quarter covering here. So that might be something to keep in mind here.
We got Bengals plus 2.5 even money for the first quarter of the Superbook. So if you're looking to bet the first quarter, if you can remember this, it's not easy. Try to see who wins the coin toss and is getting the football first. If you can bet on the team getting points in the first quarter, knowing that they're getting the kickoff, you have a real advantage. We close the betting on the first quarters after the coin toss for that very reason.
I was going to say, chart books take it down right
there. Can find a book like that, if you know the Bengals are getting the coin toss and they've elected to receive, you would have some great value on Bengals first quarter. One of the main reasons being there's no sense of urgency at the end of the first quarter the way there is at the end of the half. They'll just let the clock expire and they'll go to the second quarter, whoever has the ball. So that could be a real edge there. What did you know, I wanted to talk to you about this before I let you go. Rich Eisen tweeted this yesterday. I was looking at it while I was on the plane. One of his callers suggested this as a way to determine NFL overtime. I know that's a hot topic right now after the Bills didn't get the ball on Sunday. This guy was saying that they should determine who gets the ball first in overtime at the game coin toss. So let's say the Bengals win the toss on Sunday and the Bengals say, okay, we want to have the ball first in overtime. And then the Chiefs can decide who gets the ball first to start the game. And then that way, you know, the whole way through the game, who would get the ball first in overtime. So if Buffalo knew that Kansas City was getting the ball first in OT, I think they would have gone for two after that touchdown to put them up by four.
Okay. So I'm probably in the minority. I'm not probably, I know I am. I have no problem with the overtime rules.
I don't either.
People are out of control with the complaining. Look, you had four quarters to win the game. All this whole narrative, like, the Bills didn't give you a shot. You had four quarters, okay?
You have a chance
to go for two. This is the nature of this. You have a defense and you have a special teams. There are three aspects to football, not just offense. Stop Mahomes. Play defense. That's 50, let's call it 50%.
For 13 seconds, yeah. For 13 seconds. Like, no, I agree, but what do you think in like a macro sense? What do you think of that idea where they decide?
I don't like it. I don't.
I think that'd be cool. I think that would add a lot of strategy to the game.
Unnecessary.
It's a lot of strategy involved, though. Now, it'd be interesting in the fourth quarter to see how they played the game, knowing who got the ball first in overtime. Kind of like that Raiders-Chargers game I went to where, like, seeing how they played the fourth quarter in overtime, knowing they'd both make the playoffs with a tie. There was an added little element of strategy there down the stretch that I thought
that was fun, exciting. For sure. I know what you mean. It would offer a fun twist. I just don't think it's mm-hmm. necessary. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I firmly believe it ain't broke. I think there's an element mm-hmm. where you can factor that in. You don't want it to come down to a coin toss. I think it's better than penalty shots or anything like we have in hockey.
Well, it's definitely better than penalty kicks in soccer. I'll tell you that much. That absolutely sucks.
I love the college way, although I'm not opposed to it vehemently or anything.
I was thinking about calling you a curmudgeon and an old man preaching from your porch, but I do agree with I can't stand the way that they settle soccer games. You know how much I love soccer. There's nothing worse than having a really significant game ending with penalty kicks. That sucks. So if that's what we're comparing it to, then yes, NFL overtime is much, much better. And Chiefs fans are quick to remind you that they lost their own AFC title game 3 years ago in overtime the same way, with New England getting the ball first and they scored a touchdown. So I think what goes around comes around.
And we've seen teams punt numerous times in the first possession, right? It's defense is part of football too. And I understand that Mahomes and Allen make the offenses great. And we had a shootout on Sunday evening. I understand that, but
yeah,
don't let it get to a coin toss.
That was a unique
or win in regulation.
That was a unique situation because if the Green Bay San Francisco game had gone to overtime, nobody would have been saying, oh, whoever gets the ball first automatically wins. right? The Buffalo Kansas City game, you had these two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks just firing on all cylinders, and it was obvious whoever won that toss. I think we moved the money line to like Kansas City 210 or 220 after they won the toss. That whoever won that toss was going
to
win that
game. It was 210 when they got to midfield before the – was it a McKinnon screen?
Okay.
I
think we were even higher than that right after the toss because we were so confident.
I thought 210 was cheap when they got to midfield.
Whoever won that toss –
I figured I could play out of it.
We just felt that whoever won that toss was going to win because those quarterbacks were so zoned in. But, you know, if you look at the first game on Saturday, I mean, either quarterback could have thrown a pick there. And then certainly the late game Saturday, you almost didn't want to have the ball. You want to play the field position game because neither team could get a first down on offense. So the Buffalo Kansas City game was a very extreme example, and you don't really want to change the rules based on one extreme example. So I do agree with you there.
Yeah. All right, bud. Great stuff as always. We went longer, much longer than I thought we would, but we broke down some football and it was fun talk about the nieces and dogs. So,
I'm dragging the show out because once it's over, me and Peter are going to start pregaming. So I'm trying to drag the show out a little bit, kind of give myself a little time to rest up, but I will talk to you next week. We can start talking about the Super Bowl. We'll have the Super Bowl props out 1 week from today, February 3rd. Superbook will release all of its Super Bowl props. We can talk about that next week.
Awesome. Awesome. Travel safely. Enjoy the game, my man.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Daily Wager Extra Podcast. As always, we appreciate your downloading, subscribing, rating, reviewing, all the good stuff. And then, of course, we have the one that's 10 minutes or less throughout the week. And we also have the Daily Wager show, which has been dark for a couple days. I've been on vacation as well. So we'll be back tomorrow, Friday, 6 Eastern on ESPN2. Best of luck to everyone this weekend.